right. Thank you, Matt. That's a good message, and we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Let's take our Bibles, be finding the Gospel of John. And right now, your Bibles will just about open up to the Gospel of John, just any place. We've been there many a time, and we come back to chapter 10. John chapter number 10. I don't know about you, but all week long I have been singing and humming and thinking about our theme song for revival. What a good song it was. Christ is enough for me. Amen? That pretty much says it all, doesn't it? Christ is enough for me. And we appreciate our choir leading us in that. Then we would join in with them. And as you probably remember, because we sang it so much, one of the lines says, "Everything I need is in you. Everything I need." And that's true, isn't it? And that's what John is telling us precisely in this gospel we call the Gospel of John. He is showing us page after page, chapter after chapter, that Jesus is all we need. And he's doing this in many ways. He's doing this in a special way, really, by showing us that Jesus is this or that. Whole chapters devoted as we see this chapter unfold today. We've already seen, for example, that Jesus is the bread of life. He's the light of the world. We're going to see in this chapter, he's the door of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. Chapter 11, he's the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. In chapter 14, he's the true vine. And we are the branches, which means we get our very life and our sustenance from him. All these images tell us Christ is enough for me, for us. He's everything I need and all that we could ever possibly need. So with that in mind, let's come to John 10 and let's read the first part of this chapter. Some of these readings are fairly long. We're not going to take a whole chapter today, but we are going to read several verses. And this is, I don't always do this, but I actually timed the scripture reading. And much to my surprise, it was a little over 2 minutes. But of the preaching this morning, I hope you hear these 2 minutes above all else. Because nothing, I say nothing, is as important as hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In fact, let's stand today for the reading. John chapter 10, verse 1. It'll help us to pay attention better. We'll be fully alert and ready for it. So here we go. John 10, verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, notice that, many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Remain standing, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your perfect word. Thank you that we have the privilege of reading it and hearing it and taking it not only into our ears but into our heart. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would implant it deep today. Lord, apart from anything that I would say, may your word find a place in our hearts. Lord, I pray that everything said in this message today would enhance the message and make the message plain and in no way make the message complicated or in any way take away from the simplicity and the power of the truth that we have before us. Lord, I pray today we will understand in a very special way what it means to have you as our shepherd and what it means for us to be one of your sheep. And Lord, for those who are not yet in the fold, I pray that you'll speak to their heart just as the Scripture says, so that they'll hear your voice and respond to your call and become a part of your fold. Lord, again, we thank you for the blessings of this Lord's Day. What a privilege it is to come together in your name, to meet in your house, to sing your songs, to be with your people, to have the Holy Spirit to guide us and just unite our hearts that we might lift your name together. We think about what the psalmist said, and we feel that in our hearts today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. May that be true of every one of our hearts today. Bless us now as we have the message that you would speak to our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. In this message, we're going to take a look at Christ, the Good Shepherd, and the sheep, His sheep, special flock we are. And my prayer is, as we've already prayed, that if you're not in the flock, that God would speak to your heart, and by His grace, you'd hear His call, and you would come in. You may not know something I'm about to share with you about our property. You know, last Sunday was homecoming, and a lot of good memories go into that day, and we rejoice as we think back to these years that God has given to us. Some of you probably know this, what I'm about to say at first, and that is, this property here used to be a Lutheran church. How many of you knew that? Well, several people probably went up and down this highway a lot. And, of course, this building was not here. It's been here about 10 and a half years. But the other older part, not the MPC, that was the Lutheran church. But something I did not know, and perhaps many of you don't know, was several years ago I was in the hospital visiting someone, and I can't remember to save my life who it was, but in the course of conversation, and it wasn't a member here, in fact, it was somebody else I was just visiting, somebody probably had asked me to visit, and in the course of conversation, it came out that this used to be a pig farm right here on this corner. How many of you knew that? Well, a couple people, and I thought, man, isn't that interesting? We talked a little bit about that, and it wasn't long into that conversation that I began to think, the Lord transformed this corner from a pig pen to a sheepfold. Isn't that just like the Lord? Once a pig farm and then a church. And isn't it great to be a part of the fold? Amen. And what an image we have right here in John chapter 10. As you can see in the reading, it's all about the Good Shepherd and who He is and what He does, and what our relationship is in response to His love for us and His care for us. The basic meaning of a shepherd, of course, is a keeper of sheep. And that designation, keeper of sheep, was first used of Adam and Eve's son Abel, says in the book of Genesis, he was a keeper of sheep. Many of Israel's best known men were shepherds by occupation. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David. The Bible mentions shepherds and keeping of sheep some 200 times. In fact, more than that. It's mentioned many, many times in the Bible. Shepherds, as you know, had many important responsibilities. It was their responsibility to take care of the daily needs of the sheep, to find pasture, to find water, to protect them from enemies, from those that would steal the sheep or wolves that would devour the sheep. It was a big, big responsibility. They worked by day and by night. I suppose one of the things we always remember about the Christmas story is that shepherds were out keeping watch over their flock by night. That's a great part of the Christmas story. And so shepherd was a familiar image to people of that day. Probably not so much today unless you've been a farmer or you've been around farming. But this word shepherd was often used for kings. In fact, God Himself, as you know, was described as a shepherd in the Old Testament. And now Jesus uses that image of Himself right here to describe His own ministry. I find it interesting, going beyond this passage, how important this whole concept is, because you remember Peter, the disciple who's always quick to speak out. We have that in our Sunday school lesson today. It's fresh on my mind. He was always the spokesman for the group. And most of the time he was right, but a lot of the time he wasn't right. A lot of the time he opened his mouth and put his foot in it. And one time he said, "Lord, though everybody deny you, I won't." Remember that? But he did. Three times, in fact. And near the end of this Gospel of John, three times the Lord gave him an opportunity to redeem himself or to be restored. Three times he denied. Three times the Lord asked him, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" You remember that? Three times. And each time Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." The third time he said, "Lord, you know all things." And each time when Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you," you know what Jesus said to him in response? Here's what he said. "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." So this is an image that's a very, very important image. We come to Paul's ministry, and it didn't change. He always had this image on his heart. We read, for example, when he was talking to the elders, the church leaders in Ephesus, and they were kind of saying goodbyes. They would not see each other for a while. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, a powerful word this is. He says to those elders, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." Church leaders, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, he says. To all the flock. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To feed the church of God. To tend the flock, he says, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Blood-bought sheep. Valuable sheep. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. God has put you in the place of overseer, that is, we might say, under shepherd. A pastor is an overseer, but he's an under shepherd, under the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. So let's look to this and see what we can find today. It's such an important image, such an important truth for us to grasp. And it's a very simple outline I want you to follow, if you would, if you're taking notes. First of all, we're going to consider the qualities of the good shepherd, and then we're going to consider the qualities of the sheep. What are the qualities of the good shepherd? Well, let's notice here in the first part of the chapter, let's sum it up this way. Jesus is the true shepherd. That is by contrast to all of those who are untrue or false shepherds. There were many who claimed to be leaders of the flock. Many false messiahs had come on the scene. Many false Christs, and many would come. Jesus warned about those. And here he refers to those who would come up in an unauthorized way into the sheepfold, not entering by the door. Those who would seek to lead the sheep, but the sheep would not hear his voice. But he was the true shepherd, and he would be the one that would really care for the sheep. These other false shepherds really wanted to devour the sheep. They were called thieves and robbers. Thieves do their work by secrecy and by stealth. Robbers do their work by force. And so whether by stealth or by force, they sought to do damage, to do harm to the sheep. It was for what they could get out of it, but not Jesus. He is the true shepherd. He only cared for the sheep and wanted to do what was best. Not only is he the true shepherd, he's the good shepherd. This is that seems to be the theme from verse 7 down through about verse 15. And a lot is said here. We'll try to sum it up. He's basically saying that the good shepherd provides for the needs of his sheep. He refers to the sheep in a sheepfold and how they would hear the voice of the shepherd. And they would come out and he would lead them into pasture fields. He also speaks here of salvation in verse 9. Look at this once again. He says, I am the door. And maybe you're wondering, what's that got to do with him as the shepherd? Oftentimes in these Bible times, the shepherd would actually become the door of the sheepfold because they would not have fencing. They would not have a man-made pen, but they would use something in nature, maybe a little place where, is next to a hill, and maybe a hedge or something was a natural barrier. And so to enclose the sheep, the shepherd would actually lie down in front of that enclosure that God had provided through nature. And so it was that the shepherd, Jesus, he's actually the door of entrance and the door of exit. And notice what he says here, a beautiful statement in verse 9, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He speaks of salvation. He speaks here of sustenance, shall go in and out and find pasture. He speaks here of satisfaction in verse 10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This has absolutely nothing to do with prosperity. This is not the prosperity gospel where he's promising that we'll have good health and a lot of money and a good job and good home, good car and all that. Many people pervert this scripture and talk about the abundant life. But friend, the abundant life is not an abundance of things. Have we not learned yet that the greatest things in life are not things at all? They're His presence, His peace, His joy, His strength, His presence in our lives, the abundant life. And then He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. What more could He give than what He has already given? And that is His life. Here, it's before He actually gave it, but we know that He would lay down His life for the sheep. And He would give us His life. He would give us His blood. He would make the atonement for our soul. The hired hand would flee from danger. But He's not the hired hand. He's not a hireling. He is the good shepherd by way of contrast. And so He's willing to put Himself in the place of danger, even the place of death, as a sacrifice for the sheep. And then I want you to know something else about the good shepherd. We'll have more to say about the death here in just a moment. There's a lot to say about Jesus' death, of course. It's the most important thing of all. But I want you just to see one other thing here as we're thinking about the good shepherd. And that is, He is not only the good shepherd, He is the one shepherd. Verses 16 down through 18. Let's just look at this. Verse 16 says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Of course, he's talking there about the other sheep, the Gentiles, who would be included as the Jews. And aren't we glad? I don't guess there's anybody Jewish here. We're Gentiles, but at one time we were not included in God's plan. But this is phenomenal. This is something that's new that Jesus is sharing with people, that there are other sheep besides the Jews that He's going to include in His fold. I heard a preacher, I don't know, several years ago, I guess now, and a local pastor at that, say that this referred to Christians and Muslims together in one fold. And of course, that's not what this means at all. That's not what this is getting at all. You say, well, that's kind of a rare thing, but it's really not that rare. Did you notice This past week, one of our local colleges, and I'm just going to call it out, Emory and Henry College, dedicated a new center they called a Center of Diversity, giving credibility to all religions, and so as to be inclusive. I think that's the name they use for the center, a center of inclusivity. We want to be inclusive. And so in response to the students, they said, we'll open up this center, make everybody feel welcome, acknowledge all faiths. And the problem with that is they're acknowledging all faiths as valid faiths, just like Christianity. Jesus is not saying that he welcomes all people regardless of what they believe and he'll be the one shepherd. That's nonsense. The Christian faith is not inclusive in that everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome if you believe in Christ, but it's very exclusive. Only through Christ can we be in the fold. So let's not misunderstand here what he's saying. He is the one shepherd of the one fold. And to be outside that fold is to be in trouble, eternal danger. So it's a remarkable statement he makes here. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And he's brought us in, Gentiles too. It would be one fold and one shepherd. You know what the Bible teaches. Later on we'll see it. John 14:6. And I know you're familiar with these verses, but I think in our day of wanting to be inclusive, we need to know these verses, know where they are, so you can share them, so that you know them, that the Christian life is exclusive, Christ only. John 14:6, Jesus said, no one else said it, he said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in the context, that's the name of Jesus Christ. He's not one of many ways. He's the only way. He's not one of many shepherds, of many folds. He is the only shepherd of the only fold. And this is a very exclusive passage. So Jesus is the one shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the true shepherd. Now what can we say about the sheep? Let's just turn our attention a little bit on the sheep, because we don't want to miss out on what it's saying about us. And so this kind of works both ways. First of all, I want you to notice, and I want to bring out about three qualities of the sheep. First of all, and this is so important, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. Look again at verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. They recognize his voice and they respect it. And they respond to it. Shepherds today in the Western world, I guess most all, have their own flock and kind of keep their flock, separate. But back in Middle Eastern times and Middle Eastern cultures, a lot of times the sheep would be brought together at times, and the shepherd would come and would call for the sheep, and in the midst of all these sheep belonging to this shepherd or another shepherd or maybe several shepherds, those sheep belonging to a specific shepherd would hear his specific voice. And so this is what Jesus is referring to. His sheep, my sheep, hear my voice, and they will respond to no other voice. So what does that say to us? Well, it simply says that we hear his voice, not an audible voice. I'm not talking about an audible voice, even though in our day there are some claiming to hear a voice from God. That's false teaching. I'll say it again. We do not hear an audible voice from God. I like what the seminary president used to say, Dr. Allison. He said, I heard from God. It wasn't an audible voice. It was louder than that. It's an internal voice. It's not an audible voice. How does God speak to us? You know how he speaks to us. Through his word and by his spirit. And it's an unmistakable voice. That's why I love the word of God, don't you? Because we hear God speaking to us through the word. And we recognize it, just like the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. And we respect it. And we heed it. Which brings me to a second thing about the sheep. Not only do they hear the shepherd's voice, but the sheep follow the shepherd. Don't miss this. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. It's one thing to hear the shepherd's voice and respond to it, react to it, but the sheep follow the shepherd. Mark this, the shepherd does not drive the sheep. Unlike some shepherds you may be familiar with, there's no sheepdog barking or snapping at the heels of the sheep. It's the shepherd in love calling for the sheep and the sheep lovingly following and obeying. What a beautiful picture this is. So we follow him. We obey him. A sign in a Christian school cafeteria read this way, "Where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow." That's pretty good, isn't it? We sing that old hymn. Sometimes we sing it. "Wherever he leads, I'll follow." But let me ask you, do we? We sing that, but do we? To sing that and not follow is hypocrisy, isn't it? "Wherever he leads, I'll follow." Luke 6:46 should ring in our hearts. It ought to convict us. It ought to reveal to us, if we're really obedient, where Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you call me master and you don't obey me? Why do you call me shepherd? We love to say the Lord's my shepherd, but do we follow?" 1 John 2, this is where John gets down with brass knuckles. I mean, he's really speaking plain. And he says, "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. The sheep follow the shepherd. They obey the shepherd. And then something else here is that the sheep know the shepherd. Look at verse 14. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And that knowing is a personal relationship, isn't it? It's a knowing of trust. It's a knowing of implicit trust in the shepherd. Knowing that he's aware of my needs. He knows what's best for me. He knows where to lead me. He knows where to guide me. There's a security there. There's a protection there. There's an awareness there of the sheep knowing that the sheep is a needy creature. And only as it stays close to the shepherd can those needs be met. The Bible makes no bones about it. Sheep are really not impressive creatures. Sheep are very needy creatures. Sheep are very, very, well, they're just, they're very innocent creatures. And they're very weak. And they're very susceptible to injury and prone to attack. And all kinds of things can happen. They just can't fend for themselves. And one of the things you know from the songs that we sing and the scriptures, there's so many that talk about our tendency to stray and to get lost and to wander and to get into danger. It says, for example, in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." There's not a one of us that has not gone astray. "We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." In the New Testament, 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." What a beautiful verse. All of us were astray. But we realize he's the shepherd. We need him and we come to him. And then once we come to him, we realize how much we need him. And we sing that song, and it's often on my heart. I hope it's on your heart. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Do you not feel in your heart a tendency to wander? I do. I think we all do. So we know the shepherd, and we know we've got to stay close to the shepherd. Not just in a revival meeting, get close to him and then, you know, we'll get on fire down the road. But every day, we need that close walk, don't we? Let me close by saying this and just kind of sharing some things, kind of bring some thoughts together. The Bible speaks of Christ as a shepherd in three ways. And I think we ought to know this because each one is like a beautiful part of a diamond. You know, you take a diamond and you kind of look at it in a different light. And each way you look at Christ as a shepherd, it's so unique and so beautiful, so wonderful. John 10, verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So as the good shepherd, the emphasis is on his death, how he died in the place of the sheep. Now shepherds would guard their flock and take care of their flock, knowing that many of those sheep would be used as sacrificial lambs, as sacrificial animals. That was one of the reasons they had so many shepherds and so many sheep on all these hillsides around, because they were always sacrificing these sheep. But it's far different, isn't it, when the shepherd becomes the sacrifice. That's what Jesus did. He's not only the shepherd, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the good shepherd. Then he's also spoken of as the great shepherd. And the emphasis here is on the resurrection. Listen to it. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So he rose again. And we have not a dead shepherd, but a living shepherd. As we heard one night in the message, King of kings and Lord of lords. So that he is now, as much as he ever was, able to take care of us as his sheep. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He ever lives to provide sustenance and security. We're going to see this in an upcoming message here, how he holds us in his hand and protects us as his sheep. Then 1 Peter 5:4, it speaks of him as the chief shepherd. And here the emphasis is on his rewards when he comes back from heaven. It says in 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What a statement. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He's the one and only shepherd. And he meets all of our needs. He died for our sins. He rose again in victory to secure all that we will ever need. And he's coming back to carry us home one day to reward us, and we'll be with him forever. Well, I couldn't finish this message without reading over here the 23rd Psalm. I want you to listen to it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, if we really believe that, then why would we worry? Think about that. That's a picture of contentment, isn't it? Still waters, green pastures, even enemies threatening, valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. And why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. In some small towns, you know, they'll do anything for entertainment. Back years ago, it was very simple. And I heard the story of, in a small town, much like where we pastored for 12 years, town of Halls, kind of like a Mayberry. And you've seen this, Andy of Mayberry, you've seen things. They have community gatherings. Well, on this particular occasion, they had different things. Some would sing and some would do public readings. And as it happened on this particular occasion, two people had chosen the same passage to read, and it was the 23rd Psalm. One gentleman got up, and he read with perfect diction, resonant voice, didn't miss a syllable, immaculate. He was done. Later on in the program, someone else got up and read the very same passage, but read with such heartfelt emotion and feeling, and just really brought out from the pages the meaning and the message of the psalm. So much so that some were even brought to tears. And after the program was over, a few people were talking amongst themselves about the program. And one made a comment to the other, said, "What was the difference between the first person that read the 23rd Psalm and the second?" And the response was very insightful. The person said, "Well, I believe it was that the first person knew the psalm, but the second person knew the shepherd." So I ask you today, do you really know the shepherd? Have you heard his voice? Do you obey his voice? Do you know him enough to trust him and depend upon him for every need, both now and forever? You know, that 23rd Psalm covers it all the way to glory. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He's got it covered, doesn't he? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being our heavenly shepherd. Thank you for being so good to us, so faithful, as we have sung earlier this service. Thank you that your faithfulness is never in question. Your love, your care, your protection, your provision. Lord, I pray that we would examine ourselves and see, do we really know you? Do we really follow you? Do we really depend upon you and look to you to supply our needs? And if not, please forgive us. Draw us close and help us, Lord, to draw near to you as you promised to draw near to us if we'll only draw nigh to you. And help us, Lord, each day to start the day close and stay close. And when we feel that tendency to stray, we pray we'll confess that and sense that we need that as a reminder to come back, to draw ever closer. Help us, Lord, from day to day, just to know that we're walking with you, we're under your protective eye and your protective hand, and just let us always remember how good and faithful you are. If there's those in our congregation today that are not sure that they're in the fold and that they know you as the shepherd, may this be the day. Maybe you spoke to them earlier, maybe even in a revival service, and they didn't respond. But this is another opportunity, another invitation. Help us to obey you in this. We pray it all in Jesus' name.